Welcome to Tzarati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 11. In the last parak, we learned how Yehuda should not be influenced to act like the other nations when in Galus. This parak focuses on why Yehuda is responsible for their Galus. In the Torah, Hashem entered into a covenant with the Jewish people two times. Once was at Har Sinai, and once was at the end of Sefer Dvarim. In Parshas Kisavo, Moshe lists a series of blessings that Bnei Yisrael would receive if they listened to Hashem and the Torah, and the curses that would result from abandoning the Torah. The nation accepted this covenant on themselves by responding Amen after each blessing and curse. In this parak, Yirmiyahu reminds the Jewish people about this bris, this commitment to Hashem. Since they did not keep the Torah, the curses that are listed in the Torah are now coming true, and they will be exiled from their land. The men of Anasos are so upset by this nevuah that they tried to murder Yirmiyahu by slipping poison into his food. The Mishpasot Zahav tells us that this parak will be repetitive, with similar ideas mentioned in a number of psukim. Hashem told Yirmiyahu to warn the people about the bris multiple times. These messages were all combined into one parak, so the ideas will seem to repeat. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, verse 2, Shimu es divrei habris hazos, hear the words of this covenant. The bris Bnei Yisrael agreed to before entering Eretz Yisrael, v'dibartim, you in plural should say these words about the bris. The command to remind Yehuda about the bris is said to multiple people. Yirmiyahu always had a different Navi accompany him. Zephaniah was one of the Naviim who also prophesied at this time. Yirmiyahu repeated his message morning and night. He would bring a different Navi with him so that people would feel awkward around a new person and decide to do tshuva since they were so used to ignoring him. El Ish Yehuda v'al Yoshvei Yushalayim, to the man of Yehuda and al on the residents of Yushalayim. The real audience for this speech was El to the man of Yehuda, who the Al-Sheikh says is the king. He should have pity on the residents of Yushalayim and lead them back to serving Hashem. Verse 3, echoing the words of the Torah, Yirmiyahu frames the curses in the same format as the curses in the Torah. Aror ha'ish asher lo yishma es divrei habris hazos. Curse be this man who will not obey the terms of this covenant. The Jewish people are still subject to the bris that was made in the desert. Verse 4. The first covenant, according to the Radak, took place at Har Sinai. B'yom hotzi osa me'eretz Mitzrayim mikor habarzel. When I took you from Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was a kor habarzel, a smelting furnace. Just like a furnace refines metal and removes its impurities, the torture of the slavery refined the character of the Jewish nation and made them ready to accept the bris given at Har Sinai. There, they agreed to listen to Hashem and do as he commanded. The relationship of Hashem with Klai Israel became that of an Am, a nation with an Elohim, a God, who controls the world. Klai Israel are obligated to listen to the directives of Hashem as they are under his domain. The purposes of this bris at Har Sinai is defined in verse 5. Laman hakim es hashvua asher nisprati lavoseichem. Hashem promised to give a land of milk and honey to the people to uphold the promise that he had made to the fathers Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov about their children. Yirmiyahu answers Amen, so it should be. In the Torah, the whole nation answers Amen. Here, only Yirmiyahu affirms the bris. His affirmation allows the bris to continue as he represents the children of those who originally accepted the bris. Hashem gives Yirmiyahu an additional mission. In verse 2, he spoke to the men of Yerushalayim. Here he is told to go throughout the land of Yehuda. He shouldn't just go to the places where the elite would gather, like the Beis HaMikdash. He should try to reach people in the streets and the marketplaces to get his message to spread. Hashem wants Yirmiyahu to tell them that they have been warned time and time again, morning and evening, when the Nevi'im told them to listen to Hashem. Whenever the Nevi'im speak, the nation actively ignores them. Each person was doing whatever they wanted based on their own desires. Vayelchu ish b'shriris libam hara. They all followed the willfulness of their evil hearts. This phrase is alluding to the words of Moshe. He says in Devarim after the bris, that there will be people who will think to themselves that they can do whatever they want. Ki b'shriris libei elech, that I will go based on what I want. The Torah warns that a person with that attitude will be subject to all the curses of the Torah. In our pasuk, Yirmiyahu says this is indeed what is happening. verse 9 begins a new section with a new theme. At this time, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, a new rebellion is starting against Hashem. Vayomer Hashem Eli, Hashem said to me, Nimsa Kesher B'ishu Huda Uviyoshve Yerushalayim. A conspiracy exists among the men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. There was a debate among the commentaries as to when this rebellion took place. Yoshiyahu had done tshuva and tried to rid the nation of all the idols. Not all the people were sincere. There were a number who acted righteously in public, but still worshipped idols in their home. Paro Necho wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael, and Yoshiyahu said no because he felt he had enough merits to not have enemy soldiers on his territory. In response, Paro Necho killed Yoshiyahu in battle because there were those in the nation who were still serving idols. Yoyakim was crowned king. He was evil, and he and the nation turned back to the ways they had been accustomed to in the time of Yoshiyahu's father, Amon, and his grandfather, Menashe. This nevuah, according to the Radak, happens in the days of Yehoyakim, when Shavu alavonos avosam harishonim asher me'anu lishmoa es divarai. They have returned to the sins of their fathers of old, who refused to listen to my words. The Das Sofrim says this rebellion is actually happening at the end of Yoshiyahu's reign, so there's a difference of opinion. Hashem says the consequences, as listed in the Bris, are coming. They can't get out of these punishments because they are set in the Torah. There is a finality to this pronouncement, and the punishments are coming, so that it says in verse 11, V'zaku elai v'lo ashma elayhem. They will cry out to me, but I will not listen to them. Certain sins can be atoned for through teshuvah, doing repentance. But others require kapara, an element of atonement of suffering to accompany the teshuvah. So in this case, tefillah will not work because there also needs to be an element of kapara, atonement. Seeing that Hashem is not responding to their prayers, they then try another avenue. They go to daven to Avodah Zarah. They don't deny that Hashem exists, but they are desperate for help. So they try to add to their service of Hashem by also approaching idols. Each town and area in Huda and in Yerushalayim tried their own tactic. Each area had their own niche idol. Verse 13, Ki mispar arecha hayu el hecha Yehuda. Because the number of your cities is that how many gods you have, Yehuda. Hu mispar chutos Yerushalayim samtem mizbachos. And you have set up as many altars as there are streets in Yerushalayim. Verse 14, Vata, and you, al tispalel ba'ad ha'am hazeh. You, Yirmiyahu, do not daven for this nation. The Mitzvah David says that the people can't even daven for themselves. So why should Yirmiyahu daven on their behalf? They need to have charata, regret, which they don't have, and therefore their tefillos and Yirmiyahu's tefillos on their behalf will not have any impact. Ba'al tisa ba'adam rina ustfila. Do not rise a cry of prayer. The Malbim explains that not only should Yirmiyahu not daven independently for them, he should not act as a chazan leading them in prayer. Hashem will not listen to him or them since they never have a plan to change. They are just trying to avoid suffering. Yirmiyahu is not the only one davening. The pasuk reads, Me lididi babayis. Why should my beloved be in the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara reads into this pasuk a conversation between Hashem and Avram Avinu, who is called Yadid Hashem, the beloved one of Hashem. At the time of the Chorban, Avram comes to daven that his children should not be exiled. Hashem asks him, quoting the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu, the Chazat Medrash says, Why are you davening? Meli di bevayis, what connection do you have, my beloved, to this house? Avram answers, I am davening for my children. Hashem says to him, they have sinned and need to be exiled. Avram responds, maybe they did it by accident. Hashem answers from our Pasuk, Asoso hamazi masa, they sinned purposely. Avram says, maybe it's only a few. Hashem answers, Harabin, the many. Avram says, I did a bris milah. Let that be a zuchus and merit for them. Hashem responds, Ubisar kodesh yavru me'alach. The flesh of holiness passed from you. They stopped doing bris milah. Avraham says, maybe you can wait. Hashem answers, Ki ra'e sichi az ta'alozi. They are happy when they do averus, so they won't be doing tshuva. There is no point in waiting. Avraham heard this and starts to cry. He asks, is there nothing that can help, Chas v'shalom? Immediately, a voice from heaven, a baskal, came out and said, verse 16, Zayis ra'anan yefei pri toa. The Jewish people are like a verdant, beautiful olive tree with choice fruits. The olive releases its best product through pressure. The Jewish people will become great once again, Avraham Avinu, through the pressure of Galus. I think what this Agadata is trying to say is that we don't just have our tefillos and our tshuva to help us. We have the zuchus avos, the merit of our forefathers. Even if Hashem isn't accepting our tefillos, or the tefillos of our leaders, the tefillos of our avos are ever present. They will be protective for us, even as we go into Galus. The Jews are like olives for another reason. The best part of the olive is that it has a good fruit, and it also provides oil, which provides light. When the Jewish people are doing well, they're like a wonderful fruit. They light up the world and bring happiness. The downside of the olive tree is that this beautiful tree can become very dried out as a firewood, and it's very destructive in a forest fire. When the Jews don't keep the Torah, they become a destructive force in the world as well. Verse 17 continues along this metaphor. It tells us that Hashem Tzvakos Hanotea Osach, Hashem, who's called Tzvakos as in the army, the god of war, planted us like a tree. He gave us the Beis HaMikdash so we could grow. But because Yehuda had corrupted its essence, Diber Alayach Ra, through the Nevi'im, Hashem has said that bad will come. It is not because Hashem is bad or dangerous, only because Biglal Ra'as Beis Yisrael Uveis Yehuda, because of the bad that the house of Yisrael and the house of Yehuda has done. They have made Hashem angry by sacrificing to idols. Verse 18. The people, specifically Yirmiyahu's neighbors from Anasos, were very angry about Yirmiyahu's nevuah. They decided to poison Yirmiyahu to stop him from sharing this message. They were very secretive, and Yirmiyahu had no idea until Hashem hodi'ani ve'eda'ah. Hashem informed me, and then I knew. Yirmiyahu says he was so naive, he trusted them. All he wanted was to help them save themselves. He was like a little lamb who thinks his owner is taking him for a walk, when really he is being led to the slaughterhouse. Ve'ani kicheves aluf yuval levtvoach v'lo yadati kalai chashvu machshavos. For I was like a docile lamb, led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they were against me. Yirmiyahu had no idea that they put poison in food. The Malbim says they chose poison, as that would be a secret method to kill a Navi. They wanted to silence him and not make him a martyr. They hoped Ushmo lo yizacher od, that his name would never be mentioned again. Yirmiyahu turns to Hashem and asks him to avenge this plot. Hashem knows the thoughts of man, even when they are not actualized. Because of Yirmiyahu's prayer, the people of Anasos are punished. Lachain, there will be a punishment for the men of Anasos who denied that Yirmiyahu was a legitimate Navi and threatened to kill him in order to silence him. Verse 22, Habachurim yamusu b'cherev, the young men will die in battle, while b'neihem uvnosehem yamusu b'ra'av, their boys and girls will die in famine. We have heard that other cities will have one or two people survive, but for Anasos, verse 23, Ush'eris lo siyelahem, there will be no remainder. There were two sections to this parak. The first section spoke about the bris that Hashem made with the Jewish people in the desert and how the curses from the bris are now coming due. The second half of the parak discusses how the Jewish people are involved in a rebellion against Hashem. The people's prayers won't help, and Yirmiyahu should not daven, as Hashem wants to have a chance for the atonement of Galus to work. According to the Gemara, Hashem turns down the tefillos of Avraham as well. The punishment is coming. The people of Yirmiyahu's hometown of Anasos try to poison Yirmiyahu. Based on Yirmiyahu's request, Hashem will punish the town to wipe them out during the Churban. One lesson we can learn from this parak is that during the time of Galus, we can turn to the zuchus of our avos, to the merit of our forefathers, as we say in the beginning of Shmon Esrei, Magen Avraham, the protector of Avram, because that zuchus and the prayers of our forefathers are always with us. Thank you for studying together, Li'igoy Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexandra Sender.